January 31st, Ezekiel, chapters 10 and 11. Jesus says, the sign of Ta, a pollarded cross, as is proper for the one marking subjects, who may not bear a canopy over their throne, with the name of a king. The children, O God, but not the firstborn of the Father, only the firstborn sits on his kingly throne. Only Christ, whose earthly throne was the cross, bears his glorious sign at the top of it, on the board rising above his head. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Christians bear Christ's sign, humbly and complete at its summit, as is appropriate for the children of a royal lineage who are not, however, the firstborn of the Father. What does the sign of Ta consist of? Where is it affixed? Oh, leave aside the materiality of forms, when you immerse yourselves in knowledge of my kingdom, which is entirely spiritual. It will not be a material sign that will make you immune to the verdict enforced by the angels. It will be written in letters invisible to the human eye, but quite visible to my angelic ministers, upon your spirits, and it will be with your works, that is, yourselves, that during your lives you will engrave that sign, which makes you worthy to be saved for life. Age, social position, everything will be a nonentity in the sight of my angels. The only value is that sign. It will equalize kings and beggars, women and men, priests, and warriors. All will bear it in the same way, if in their respective ways of life they have equally served God, and obeyed the law, and the reward will be the same to see and enjoy God eternally for all those who present themselves to me with that resplendent sign in their spirits. Just to be very convinced of the need, of the duty, to give God all glory and all obedience engraves upon your souls, that holy sign which makes you mine, and which communicates to you a gentle likeness to me as Savior, whereby you, like me, grieve over the sins of men, and the offense they cause the Lord, and the spiritual death they bring to their brothers and sisters. Charity is set in flame, and where charity is, there is salvation. Ezekiel says he heard the Lord order the man dressed in linen, to take the burning coals which were between the cherubim, and cast them upon the city to punish the blameworthy, beginning with those in the sanctuary, for the eyes of the Lord were weary of seeing the works of man, who thinks he can do evil with impunity, because God lets him do it, and deludes himself into believing that God does not see anything but the hypocritical outward appearance. No. With his infinite power, God reads the depths of your hearts, O ministers of the sanctuary, O powerful of the earth, O spouses who sin, O sons and daughters who infringe upon the fourth commandment, O professionals who lie, O merchants who steal, O all of you that disobey my ten commandments. All veils are useless. Like your x-rays, which you are so proud of, the eyes of God probe, penetrate, pierce, read, and examine you much more still, as regards what you really are. Remind yourselves of this. The taking of the fire from between the cherubim to punish is not a symbolic action. In what are you at fault in your failings? In charity. I have already explained this to you when speaking of purgatory and hell, these two realities, which you think are fables. Charity towards God, the first three commandments. Charity towards one's neighbor, the other seven. Oh, you will often hear me come back to this topic. It would be better if there were not so much need to. It would mean that you are improving. You are instead plunging at meteoric speed towards anti-charity. Your actions, or rather, your bad actions, regarding charity are teeming in ever greater numbers like mushrooms emerging from the decomposition of a field. I observe this increasingly vast intensive germination, this thriving of bad actions upon previous bad actions, as if from layers of putrescence there were to arise other increasingly unhealthy ones in succession. It is the atmosphere of sin and crime. It is the terrain of sin and crime. It is the layer of sin and crime in which you live, on which you settle, and from which you arise that with its corruption nourishes each new layer, terrain, and atmosphere, increasingly corrupt and bloodthirsty. It is a perpetual movement. It is a revolving chaos of evil resembling certain pathogenic microbes which go on reproducing unceasingly, and with growing virulence in contaminated blood. Now it is proper for you to be punished for the sins against charity with the fire of charity, which you have rejected. It was love. Now it is punishment. God's gift is not to be disdained. You have disdained it. The gift turns into punishment. God withdraws his charity from you, and leaves you in your anti-charity. God hurls the charity you have disparaged at you, like arrows, and punishes you. To call you still, if not many of you, at least those who are capable of repentance and meditation. The cherubim, that is, the symbol of supernatural charity, guard the embers of charity in their midst. This action, which seems only simple, conceals an actual truth. When you are summoned to the great judgment, those who lived in charity will not be seen to be burned by the punitive fire. already burning on their own, through the holy love which filled them, they will not experience the bite of the inflamed divine punishments, but only the divine kiss, which will make them more beautiful. Whereas those who were flesh, flesh alone, on their flesh will bear the scars of the divine thunderbolts, for the flesh, only the flesh, can be marked by such a scar, not the spirit, which is fire living in the fire of the Lord. At this judgment, at either side of the judge who I am, my evangelists will be. They consumed themselves to take the law of charity into hearts, and after death they continued their work with their gospels, from which the world receives life. To know Christ is to have life in oneself. It is proper, then, for John, Luke, Matthew, and Mark to be with me, when you are judged for having, or not having lived out the gospel. I am not a jealous, miserly God. I call you to share my glory. Shouldn't I, then, enable these faithful servants of mine, who spread my word among you, and subscribed to it with their blood and their afflictions, to take part in the glory of the judgment? I will judge you, not in life, but for the life you have led, at the boundary of life, that is, in the place where life will cease so, as to turn into eternity. I will judge you all, from the first to the last, definitively, for the good you have done, or failed to do, and, as you saw, on rising again you will all be equal, poor disconnected bones, poor smoke recondensing into flesh, and you are now so proud of these things, almost as if those bones and that flesh were such as to be superior to God. As matter you are nothing. Only my spirit, infused into you, makes you something, and only by conserving within you my spirit, becoming a soul in you, do you deserve to be clothed in that unperishing light which will be the robe for your flesh, rendered eternally incorruptible. I will judge you, and, among yourselves, in yourselves, you will already judge yourselves, even before my appearance, for you will see yourselves. When the earth, for which you are so greedy, is dead, and, along with it, all the tastes of the earth, you will emerge from the drunkenness you sate yourselves with and see. Oh, a tremendous seeing for those who lived only by the earth and its lies. Oh, a joyful seeing for those who, beyond the earth's voices, wanted to listen to the voices of heaven and remained faithful to them. With the former dead and the latter alive, they will be darkness or light, according to their way of life, which is either with the law, or against the law, because of having replaced it with human or demoniac law, and they will go into the tremendous embrace of eternal darkness, or into the beatific embrace of the triune light, which burns in expectation of fusing you with itself, O my holy ones, O those who love me, for all eternity.